We're going to let you know more about new information out of the Agricultural Economics Department at K-State, which lends a perspective on what are likely to be the most profitable levels under cash rental arrangements for crop ground here in 2017. This is an annual analysis, and it's very valuable. Responsible in large part for it, our guest now, agricultural economist Michael Taylor of K-State Research and Extension. We'll talk trends here in just a few moments, Michael, but back to the basic premise of this analysis and what you're trying to achieve with it.
Certainly. It's really hard to get good information on what folks are paying for rented ground. We all want to know and nobody wants to tell us. So the motivation for this was the one piece of public information that's out there is USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service surveys. And to the extent that people fill out those surveys and send them back, then we can at least get some county level rent information on what folks have been paying for ground. So that is a piece of information. This report is calculated differently. It's not asking you what you've been paying. Instead, it's a calculation based on what we know about expected profitability, trying to figure out what somebody could afford to pay under an equitable lease negotiation. So the idea is to have more of a forward-looking aspect to these rental rate numbers as opposed to a backward-looking number, which USDA gives. So neither one of these numbers are necessarily the correct number, but they give us two pieces of information, and you can take that then, whether you're talking to your tenant or to your landowner, and use it as an external barometer for where the overall sector is.
You've been doing this analysis for several years running now, which allows for a view of the trend over several years' time, then, right?
Yes, but they also happen to reflect probably the peak of our profitability in the last decade and now perhaps the valley of profitability over the last 10 years.
And producers don't want to underbid for crop ground and lose the access to that ground. By the same token, they don't want to overbid and jeopardize their profitability. That's the conundrum right here that many producers are realistically facing out there, right?
Yes. So your negotiating strategy right now is incredibly important and probably a little bit challenging to figure out. No, you don't want to lose ground. So you're not going to come in here and bid as low perhaps as what these profitability numbers would suggest because you could have a landowner turn you away. So you want to make sure that you're bidding enough for the ground to keep it. You've made choices on labor and machinery in order to sort of maximize across your land base. So you don't want to be losing ground and seeing some of those total costs go up. So that's important. People are going to want to bid high enough to keep the ground. But we also tend to see probably two-thirds of Kansas producers sign 3 to 5 year contracts. And so what you're doing is you're locking yourself into a rate that you're going to be paying for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. Well, in that case, you really don't want to be overbidding because we don't really suspect that we're out of the worst of this in terms of the profitability, you know, this year or even next year. Commodity prices don't show much sign of coming back up. So you don't want to get locked into a rate that you might be able to get away with this year, but if you had to pay it for 2 or 3 years in a row would be too much.
Let's get a sense of the numbers that you've come up with here in as far as the 2017 rental rates that producers can afford to pay for rented crop ground. And it's pretty evident if you take it collectively, Michael, looking at the report, that the trend is much lower. Right.
Yes. So the trend is down. The idea behind this exercise is really to say, okay, we're going to have this expected profitability when we put all the numbers in there, and that's the profit margin we can work with. And when you look at the numbers on the non-irrigated side that came out for 2014 and 2015, those numbers were relatively high. Profitability was good, and a landowner could expect to get a pretty good rental rate for new contracts. So that, again, sort of shows you the peak of the profitability that we experienced. We have fallen off in profitability so quickly over the last 2 years, and cost of production have not come down enough to make these commodity prices profitable. So I ran into a bit of a snag when I tried to use a spreadsheet and calculate what that profit margin would be in order to come up with an equitable rental rate. And you can see in the report when you get into western Kansas, especially west central and southwest Kansas, my numbers are essentially zero or very close to zero because the profitability in a couple of those regions was negative. So it's pretty darn hard to say, well, what are we going to split on the negative side? So I just backstopped it at 1% crop share. And it's an extreme answer, but it is reflective of where projected profitability is going to be. If you take a look at the Kansas Farm Management Association numbers for 2015, the 2016 numbers will come out in May. You will see that 15 and 16 were negative profitability for several regions of the state, and we're looking at 2017 to be the same way. So these are not inconsistent with what we've seen on the net farm income side of things as well.
Now, as you said, western Kansas is showing the lowest likely returns to renting crop ground, non-irrigated here, below $10 an acre, or even worse. You look further east in Kansas, the situation improves anyway, but it's still considerably lower as a level than last year.
So this is where you're going to see some pretty big discrepancy in what we're able to grow. Western Kansas, dominated by wheat, and probably the biggest problem with wheat right now is the wide basis. Yeah. So I factor in here a three-year average basis, and as much as I would like that basis to look more like it did 5-6 years ago, you know, in Salina, for example, we've seen basis that's been a dollar wider than the historical levels. So that's factoring in, and it's basically saying, well, as long as basis stays this wide, the wheat profitability is really poor. Now you get to the eastern side of the state, and we're growing beans and perhaps more corn, and so those basis levels are not nearly as wide as the wheat basis, and that makes, especially if you can grow beans, makes it look more profitable going into 2017. So the big discrepancies between the different regions of the state in terms of what the rental rates are, it always reflects productivity of the ground and more rainfall, but it's also even bigger discrepancy, and that's coming from the profitability on the different crops that are being grown in different parts of the state.
One presumes, Michael, that the tendency toward lower levels one's able to pay for crop ground on a rental arrangement would be somewhat the same for irrigated crop ground. Is that the case?
Right. We have the same thing happening on the irrigated side. I mean, yields, fortunately, aren't as variable. So, you know, you are more likely to have a yield, and that's good. On the non-irrigated side, you know, there's parts of the state that don't even get a crop in. You know, if they have a good crop every 3 years, they're doing good. So on the irrigated side, it sort of reduces the variability on the yield side. But you'll see that the south central and central regions of the state for irrigated rental rates are flat, if not just a couple of dollars higher than they were last year. And again, that reflects the ability to plant beans and be able to capture a slightly better expected crop price.
This is all itemized nicely in the analysis, which you can read at agmanager.info. So the trend is established here. Again, it clearly points toward lower rental rates for crop ground, irrigated, non-irrigated. How would you like to have producers and landlords use this information at this point, Michael?
I think that probably the best way to use it is to look at that downward trend and recognize that we are in a situation that is not farmer-specific necessarily. These commodity prices, this profitability is pretty broad across the ag sector in the state, and it's happening in other states too. So we need to recognize that this isn't just an individual farmer coming to their landowner saying, you know, I need to drop rents because I personally am not profitable. That's not necessarily the case. But there will be some tremendous variability in terms of what different farmers are going to be willing to bid on that ground. And that's where we come back to this idea that, okay, you know, you could lose ground if you went with these rental rates, if you went to your landowner with some of these rental rates, especially the ones for western Kansas. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to come up with another source to draw from to be able to afford rent. And that's where we talk about, okay, the profitability from previous years. We call that, you know, some working capital, some carryover cash that you had from some good years. You might have to put that towards rents for this year in order to be able to bid it high enough to keep the ground. The other option is sort of drawing from the equity of owned land. In other words, if I have a portfolio of ground, some of it I own and some of it I rent, I can choose not to pay myself rent on those owned acres. Instead, take any profits or any revenue I can get off of the owned acres and put it towards paying rent on the rented acres. So that's what we're doing right now. We're drawing from profitability from previous years. We're essentially borrowing against the equity in our owned acres, and we're subsidizing those rents in order to keep that ground. And the ability of any given producer to do that is going to depend on their individual financial situation. That's going to vary a lot by individual. So the profitability projections are poor across everybody. The ability to pay more than they can afford, that varies by individual.
Once again, a very important portrayal of where we stand as far as cash rental agreement trends in Kansas and what one can afford to pay for rented irrigated or non-irrigated crop ground. You can read these two articles. They're split out by irrigation, non-irrigation. Kansas County Level Cash Rents for 2017. And they're both posted on the agmanager.info website, agmanager.info. Thanks for the comments on these, Michael, and good work as always.
Thank you very much, and you're welcome.
Michael Taylor, agricultural economist with K-State Research and Extension.